There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Ask me what a reward is. It's straight fucking cash. Yeah, smiles. Yeah, I smile every day. We're comedians. You know what I mean? I don't need to make a tiny little slave that will then, that I have to serve.
It's supposed to be a kid. Yeah.
A slave.
So you're the slave.
I'm the slave.
You make a master.
I make a little slave master.
Yeah.
Who fucking, oh, daddy, stop smoking weed all day. Oh, well, daddy, make money and buy me clothes because the kids at school are making fun of me because I'm dressed in fucking saran wrap.
Yeah, but your kid is making valid points. You should stop smoking weed all day.
I don't need
a
boss.
Get a job.
All right? Yeah. I am a jaguar.
All right. Marcus, are we recording?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. That's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. Terrible father of the year.
No. I am the jaguar, and I have no boss. No office for the jaguar.
Why are you a jaguar?
Ah, jaguar. He is the most undisciplined of the cats.
I don't think that's true, actually.
Ah, jaguar. You never see me in the night. Made of shadow I am. Smoke weed when I can. The jaguar.
Well, that's a weird jaguar, but all right.
Is that weird?
That was a weird one.
We don't know what jaguar. Maybe I was a bit of a were jaguar.
All right. Well, today we're talking about werewolves.
You see?
That was good. No, it was, yeah, creatures in the night. All right. Werewolves, everybody. Very exciting episode.
I deflected some Mormons today. I do want to say that these two fucking blonde-haired, blue-eyed little fucking Nazi pieces of shit tried to sit next to me on the train, and I was wearing my zombie Jesus t-shirt, and I just showed them my t-shirt, and they walked away.
They love zombie Jesus, though. They're Mormons.
If they can't get through one layer of zombie Jesus, how are you going to fucking make it in this world? All right, you can't turn me. You can't turn anybody.
Nope. But the Mormons are one of the nicer folks who evangelize.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they're one of the better ones. They dress in their little suits.
I hate their fucking stupid little suits. I want to give them wedgies.
Well, that's rude. All right, everybody. All right, let's go into werewolves, Marcus.
So let's...
Hey, Steven, I got a new dog for you. That's not a dog.
I love werewolves.
So let's go
through
werewolves throughout history.
Ooh.
Now, do we feel in the end, like a lot of what we're going to read about werewolves is that, you know, there are magical properties to werewolves in many of these folklore. But also it seems like there are possible sort of filter for before we understood that there were things like, you know, being a psychopath.
Yeah. Being a psychopath, just big old cats. Yeah, and wild animals
as
well.
Big cats. Yeah.
It's the same thing with gods. We created gods to explain things that we couldn't understand.
Yeah, because everyone was like trying to tell everybody else it was bad to be beaten off all day. So say there's a dude up there with a fucking lute sitting on a cloud making sure that you aren't shooting your fucking jasm all day and, you know, when you go get a job. That's what God was for.
That's what he was for. All right, I'll buy it.
Let's start with ancient Greece.
What lies in Henry's ass crack? Ancient Greece. Hello.
You want egg? You want egg and bacon? I make you egg and bacon. So writers have handed down Agriopas's tale of Demainitus of Parasia.
Huh? These are not words.
No, these are all like itchy skin diseases, right?
Sound like it.
Who, during the Arcadian sacrifices for the festival of Zeus Lycaeus means wolf, by the way, tasted the viscera of a human child who was turned into a wolf for 10 years.
Now, viscera means what? That's like gut bag.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
At the end of those 10 years, however, he supposedly became a man again and competed in the Olympics.
So this is kind of like a Teen Wolf. He turned into the wolf, he was better at sports. You know, and it was like him coming in on a chariot while fucking Johnny B. Goode's playing on the top of it.
It's sort of the opposite, though, because when he turned back into a human, he was good at sports.
No,
as a wolf, he didn't understand organized competition.
No, but the wolf gave him his fucking groove back.
I'd say it's more like Ray Lewis.
You know, he killed somebody.
Baltimore Raven?
Yeah, he killed somebody he wasn't allowed to play for a while, and then he became an athlete again and won the Super Bowl.
Hell yeah. Everybody's dream. That's America's dream.
It is.
You know, Elliot Rodgers, if he had just made it through the killing, he would have been on to be an amazing singer-songwriter.
It's possible.
So in the Latin work of prose, the Satyricon, which, by the way, Satyricon, also a fucking awesome metal band.
Also an awesome Fellini film that's really good to get a fucking spark to. Mm. And because it also gets your fucking, your rope all fucking stiff.
Your rope stiff. Yeah.
Well, that was written in 60 BC by Gaius Petronius Arbiter.
Can one of these guys maybe be fucking Eddie?
Not yet. We didn't get there yet. We didn't get lazy as a tongue yet.
Yeah, we're not going to get to Eddie before we get to Wisconsin.
Yes.
And that's a long ways off.
The Beast at Bay Bridge.
And one of the characters in that story, Nikoros, he tells a story about a banquet about a friend who turned into a wolf.
Listen, everybody.
This is a very boring story so far.
He describes the incident as follows.
When I look for my body, I see he'd stripped and he piled his clothes by the roadside.
Who invited Nicarus?
He pees in a circle. No, listen.
Is it going anywhere? Or is this like last Thanksgiving when you told the story about the twigs that were all cracking?
He turned into a werewolf at the end. You'll love it. Okay. All right? He took my body, he stripped and piled his clothes by the roadside. He pees in a circle. He pees around.
Okay, we can't eat until you finish the story,
and then just like that, he turned into a wolf man. After he turned her into a wolf, he started howling and he ran to the woods.
Is that it? So he peed on some things.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was the magic pee opened it. Made him into a wolf.
You had a full year to come up with the story this year.
I hope everybody tries my crackers I made. I made crackers for dinner.
Thank you.
I don't know how the Satyricon got to be such a famous work of prose because it fucking sucks.
Yep.
It's horribly written. And then he had to keep peeing on a clothes in a circle, and then there was he turned into a wolf, and then he ran off.
So the pee-pee made the werewolf?
It was a bond he made possibly with Zeus Lycaeus.
And Zeus wanted urine?
That is one of the possible ways in order to become a beast to do your transmogrification is you take all of your clothes off, the things that represent man.
And make you human, and then you perform some sort of animalistic activities and just pissing all over it. It's just like, you know.
Is that why R. Kelly pisses on all those girls?
To turn them into him.
Yeah.
Wild.
Now you're on the trolley.
Oh, all right.
So when you're drunk and you piss all over yourself, you become more like Ben.
Oh, I see.
You become the were-Ben.
Oh, all right.
So before the end of the 19th century, the Greeks believed that the corpses of werewolves, if not destroyed, would return to life in the form of wolves or hyenas, which prowled the battlefields drinking the blood of dying soldiers.
Now, that's really going to hurt the draft.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? War is already bad. But then if you also heard that even if you're just kind of wounded, laying in a field, eventually some kind of celestial beast is going to come and suck the rest of the blood out of you.
Yeah.
That's gonna make people nervous.
I feel like it's kind of a nice thing to do, though. Put them out of your misery. Drink out the blood faster. I mean, otherwise you're gonna bleed out real slow. A bunch of slugs are gonna get in your eyes. It's disgusting. Right?
So in the same vein, in some rural areas of Germany, Poland, and northern France, the dumber parts of Europe, it was once believed that people who died in mortal sin came back to life as blood-drinking wolves.
Hell yeah.
And these undead wolves would return to their human corpse form in daylight, and they were dealt with by decapitation with a spade and exorcism by a parish priest. The head would then be thrown into a stream where the weight of its sins were thought to weigh it down. Sometimes the same methods were used to dispose of ordinary vampires.
So these were Catholics? Just going around beheading people, I'm not a werewolf. I'm just a person, kind of sick
and I have a bad complexion.
Well, we better cut off his head.
No, I'm the town accountant. I'm the only one who understands the taxes. Kill the tax vampire.
I'm on board with that.
I want to kill some fucking tax vampires real soon.
Absolutely.
The vampires were also linked to the werewolf in East European countries, particularly Bulgaria, Serbia, and Slovenia.
And this is the poorer and dumber part of Europe.
Yeah. This is when it gets real bad.
This was just made up after somebody was just looking at his wife, and she was all pissed off at him. He was like, Bertha, you're a real werewolf right now. I'm going to go tell the town priest. Get that head right off.
Oh, yeah, you go tell your buddy that is a church. That's just a...
In Serbia, the werewolf and vampire were known collectively as Volkodlak. And over here in America, the American Indian tribe, the Naskapis, believed that the caribou afterlife was guarded by giant wolves, which kill careless hunters venturing too near.
Now, for something as peaceful as a caribou, that's a very violent heaven.
I mean, they are safe, though. The caribous are having a very peaceful time.
But at the same time, they're still going to be like, yes. I would feel, let's say our heaven was us in a giant, like, you know, nice baseball stadium.
We're having a great time.
Yeah. We're having a good time. We're laughing. We're watching a baseball game. But outside of it is just like a bunch of just like laser driven 20-foot long AK-47s, right?
Yeah.
To keep, like, I guess keep robot caribou wielding. From getting in there.
Yeah. No caribou in our heaven.
No, absolutely not.
No.
But I would still be nervous with the AK-47s around.
I mean, this is... I mean, wolves eat caribou, so this would be like getting World War II vet heaven guarded by Nazis.
Cool.
It's weird.
That's kind of fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I want to see that movie. So this whole episode is filled with things where I literally was like, that's a movie I want to see. You'll see. Like, I just wanted like a list of fucking
bunch of World War II vets come back from the dead, okay?
To protect our fucking souls from giant Japanese spiders coming into our heaven.
You know, right now we're going to stick with Portlandia. We're going to go with season 4.
I got a couple more ideas.
You have more ideas?
This thing called the talking trash can, and it goes, hey, fuck you, fuck you, fuck
a talking trash can?
Yeah, and it's called Fuck You the Trash Can.
This could actually work after Marin. That could actually work out.
Let's get into some of the folklore of werewolves. Let's start with appearance and behavior. Werewolves were said in European folklore to bear telltale physical traits, even in their human form. These included the meeting of both eyebrows at the bridge of the nose, curved fingernails, low-set ears, and a swinging stride.
Now, you talking about just being Greek?
Yeah, Greek or Russian or just anything Orthodox.
One method of identifying a werewolf in its human form was to cut the flesh of the accused under the pretense that fur would be seen underneath the wound.
There's just so many. All of these ways of testing for werewolves are dangerous and permanent.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have any. There's no, like, can't we, like, stick their finger in some cobalt and the cobalt turns green? Like, make up a new thing and not always, like, how about we slash at them with this fucking pronged fork? Yeah.
It was always very difficult to avoid, you know, the scrutiny. Because, like, back in the day, if you were a witch, well, if she drowned, she wasn't. But you're dead. And then now they just, like, cut you open. They're like, if he bleeds, he's a werewolf. Yep.
Yeah, and it's just like, yeah, and it was just the one free-flowing, big-titted woman in the fucking, in the clan. And I'm sure that a lot of these guys are just like, it's whoever you want to get rid of.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the easiest part about, like, a lot of these things where it's like, if a guy's, like, a little off, or we're talking about, like, you know, if you're a Down syndrome sufferer.
Well, we haven't gotten to that yet.
Yeah, but it's like, if you're any sort of, let's say, a weird, or you're some sort of, like, probably traveling Lothario, they think you're a werewolf.
Right. A weird wolf, if you will. Thank you.
And I will.
All right.
Heller.
Don't do it.
The appearance of the werewolf, of course, changes from culture to culture. The Swedish people, they believed that a werewolf could be distinguished from a regular wolf by the fact that a werewolf would run on 3 legs while sticking the 4th leg out to look like a tail, because werewolves don't have tails.
They say that that's also the same thing with witches. Yeah. When they are an animal form, that any animal form that they take on, they do not have tails, which I find to be interesting. I wonder why that is. I wonder if it's because you could tell a lot about an animal's mental state by its tail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That could very well be it.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm asking for a opinion.
You're trying to find logic in medieval thinking.
I think somebody saw a 3-legged wolf. Yeah. That's what happened.
That's a werewolf. It's over there. It's cut off its dick.
Whoa, PD.
Here's something I didn't know about
werewolves.
Why are
you cutting off my dick? This makes no sense. I'm a three-legged wolf already.
Better cut off his tail. Oh, he's got a tail in the
you
front.
You know, life has not been good for me. Sad. He's got three legs cut off your dog.
It's just a man who's got a fucking no dick. He's been slashed multiple
he's
times.
Got spinal bifidus.
Just ran from town to town because he thinks he's a werewolf everywhere he goes.
With any luck, this town will think I'm a god.
Please.
No, not a werewolf.
It's just back hair. I just have back hair and I have knee hair.
I mean, that's a good question. Was this a part of evolution? Were people just super hairy back then and we just slowly got rid of all the hairy ones?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Henry's still around.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and I'm staying.
I didn't see you last night around midnight.
Because I was being a werewolf.
Here's something I didn't know about werewolves, that in medieval Europe, they staunchly believed that werewolves... They like to devour recently buried corpses, which is a weird thing. They dig up the corpses and they'd eat them.
Again, it sounds like an excuse that somebody made, because also at the time there was all that crude science going on. You also have like people digging up dead bodies to like do stuff
trying
with them.
Trying to reanimate them, right?
Yeah, stuff like dumb shit like that.
I mean, just people trying to understand the human body.
Also, we're looking at, this is probably during this we always see spikes in sort of irrational beliefs, like, you know, after the plagues, when, like, during specific wars, like, during, like, weird, like, even local problems, there's
most of those irrational beliefs involve the Jews.
All right.
Quite a few of them.
Every time. You never know. That's the thing. It'd be different if they said that these were, like, the hook-nosed were-toucans. Like, that would be different. That would be like, okay, now we're getting into racism.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised that the Jews never showed up and werewolves are witches. Because in the Black Plague, the Jews, man, they were blamed for almost everything. That was one of the...
I'd say these Jews, you just got to get out of there.
Get out of there.
Just take care of yourself. Just escape. Leave your... I know it's your home.
You want the Jews to make a large exodus. Yes. Is that what you're saying?
An exodus. And to possibly have a state of their own.
I think they deserve it, don't they?
So Finno-Scandian werewolves, that would be Finland and Scandinavia around there. They were usually old women who possessed poison-coated claws and had the ability to paralyze cattle and children with their gaze.
Just like a certain Rebecca De Mornay.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, I haven't thought about Rebecca De Mornay in too long.
So here's how you become a werewolf. Many, many, many methods for becoming a werewolf. Uh-oh. One of the biggest ones was to wear a belt made of wolf skin.
Yep.
That gave you magical powers.
Like Peter Stimp.
Yeah, who we will get to later.
Yes.
Who is one of the most brutal murderers of all time, if the story is true.
So is that why Henry looks like a cow? Because he wears a leather belt?
The roast is over.
That is that is good. Is that why
there are other cases in which it was over Sunday? We released put it behind us.
Yeah, I know.
We can forget about it.
I know. I just had a couple of extra jokes in there, and there was one of them. You know?
Another way to do it: you can drink rainwater out of the footprint of the animal in question.
I think this is supposed at a time when there was very little bulls.
Yeah. You could also do it by drinking from certain enchanted streams. The 16th
you just drink from like bad water sources and you get real sick and throw up a bunch.
And then maybe you act all deranged because there's a lot of times they have like ergot would be like it like growing in the fucking mud.
You know, ergot is a lot of people say that's a big reason for a lot of psychosis back in the Middle Ages. If you didn't know, ergot is a fungus that grew.
It grows on rye bread.
It grows on rye bread and in wheat. So they didn't know how to properly store a lot of their shit
because they were fucking stupid.
They were idiots.
That's right.
And so this ergot, it's a hallucinogenic. And a bad hallucinogenic, not a fun one like mushrooms. It causes,
you get all creepy-deepy.
You get really creepy-deepy. There's a lot of accounts in the Middle Ages of entire villages having these mass panics, these mass hallucinations because of ergot.
So yeah. If you're the one person in town who didn't take it, then you're the werewolf because everyone just trips nuts all around you.
It's like when you're the only person who's on mushrooms.
Yeah.
You're kind of the werewolf.
Yeah.
Speaking of illicit substances, the 16th century Swedish writer Olaus Magnus says that the Livonian werewolves were initiated by drinking a cup of specially prepared beer.
Hell yeah.
And repeating a set formula.
Oh, what's his name?
Olaus Magnus.
He sounds like the world's strongest writer.
Yeah.
He just keeps on ripping the pages on accident every time. I had the perfect page.
These hands don't know their strength. I can't hold a pen. How will I write?
Just keeps on snapping them.
He just like runs his fingers through stone to like write the words on the side of a mountain.
This will take a long time, yes.
In Italy, France, and Germany, it was said that a man or woman could turn into a werewolf if he or she, on a certain Wednesday or Friday, slept outside on a summer night with a full moon shining directly in his or her face.
And that's where the term lunatic comes from, derived from luna, the Latin derivative for the moon, saying that you get like a moon disease if you sleep in the moonlight.
Check, please. Hello. Let's end this date.
this date.
I can't wait for you to have to start dating again at some point in the future.
Yeah.
Oh, those are going to be fun for them.
Yeah, they'll see. They'll see. But I will be buying my women.
Of course, when it comes to things like this, the transformation could also be accomplished by a satanic allegiance.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah.
Often for the sake of sating a craving for human flesh.
Hell yeah.
Now, we've got another reading here. This is by Richard Verstigon, and the book is called Restitution of Decayed Intelligence, written in 1628.
Sounds like a prog rock album.
Restitution of Decayed Intelligence.
The new album by Eclipse.
Fucking love King Crimson.
Yeah,
man.
Henry,
would you like to read from Restitution?
The werewolves are certain sorcerers who, having anointed their bodies with an ointment which they make by the instinct of the devil, and putting on a certain enchanted girdle, does not only unto the view of others seem as wolves, but to their own thinking have both the shape and nature of wolves, so long as they wear the said girdle, like a certain Dolly Parton. And they do dispose themselves as very wolves in worrying and killing and most of humane creatures.
So it's like a Spanx? Like a Spanx type thing?
That yeah, makes magic into a werewolf? Spanx.
Yeah, oh my.
The curse of the werewolf is also considered to be divine punishment. It's said that if you were excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church, you became a werewolf.
Ah,
man, if only that was so
a pedophile.
Cool. Yeah.
That's great.
That would be so cool.
Oh. To be excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church.
Not only do you not have to go to fucking church anymore fucking again, but you're also a werewolf then.
But then I think they cut your head off.
No, they gotta find you and you're too busy fucking hiding in the brush. The
problem is you're not an actual werewolf and you'll just get hungry and gotta come back to town.
Aw, man.
Yeah.
So let's get it in. Right now I want to get into the story of Theis. God's werewolf.
I love this guy.
This guy is the coolest.
Now, this is some stories of like great historical werewolves. There's like a shit ton of these.
Yeah.
And they're all awesome.
Yeah, they're all awesome. So this guy, Theis, he was an 80-year-old man, and he said that his power came not from the devil, but from God himself. When he was confronted.
What year was this around?
This was in about the 1600s.
80 years old in the 1600s.
Yeah.
Strong immune system.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. He's been eating a lot of cornstalk. I'm not sure.
I have no idea what they ate. Yeah.
Well, it's a myth that people did not live for a long time during those times because the average age, what they factor into that is the high infant mortality rate.
Oh.
So a lot of people.
Oh, so yeah, if a lot of babies die at zero, it's going to affect the fucking averages. Yeah. I will say that's definitely fucking stupid, like in terms of math, because it's like, yeah, we know, yes, babies died. Yes, they're bringing, I know that brings the average age down. Yes.
How did they survive all day without 5-hour energy drink?
And I don't know.
Magical elixirs like Coca-Cola.
So you think you can dance? If I didn't have that show, I wouldn't be able to live another day.
Oh, Emmett Smith, so dreamy.
I love he's light of step, but it's also fun to see him be a fish out of water.
So this guy, when he was confronted with being a werewolf, he confessed. He said that his nose had been broken by a man named Skystan.
Skystan broke my nose!
He said he was a witch who was dead at the time when he had struck Thies. And according to Thies...
He was a witch. He must have been dead at the time. I don't know. I'm 80. Yeah. All right, I'm fucking 80.
Are y'all listening to me still? Oh, my goodness. All right.
So according to Thies' testimony, Skystan and other witches were preventing the crops in the area from growing. Their purpose for doing so was to carry the grain back into hell.
Yeah, they're taking our jobs, just like these Mexicans.
Yeah.
But we could say because they're taking grain back to hell, it's more like they're hexicans.
I'm not going to give it to you. And really, corporate America and the government slave state, that's what's taking our jobs.
Hexicans. Yeah.
Mexicans are the scapegoats. The hexicans.
So, right. Thies, with a band of other werewolves, descended into hell to fight the witches in recovering the grain.
Now, this is sort of like the plot to I, Frankenstein.
A little bit,
but
yeah.
But it's like, instead of witches, werewolves, it's Frankenstein's gargoyles.
Yeah.
So the warring of the werewolves and the witches, it occurred on three nights a year, St. Lucia, Pentecost, and St. John.
So they fucking scheduled it?
Well, it was during the seasonal changes when presumably the portal to hell opened up.
I hate to tell these fucking witches, but you need to fucking do some kind of sneak attack. You need to like not just have it be the three nights a year, man.
Well, but if they were slow to their descent, then the witches would bar the gates of hell, the crops, the livestock, and even the fish catch would suffer that year. You gotta be on time.
These werewolves are the fucking tip of the spear, the last hope for this country.
I just feel like it would be easier to study wind patterns and just like why weather is.
No. Witches. Hmm. Witches and werewolves, they fight.
Before they thought about irrigation and things like that, they just went with werewolves, huh?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Farm Aid would have been a lot more interesting if it was about like, y'all, we need to raise money to help buy shields for the werewolves that are fighting the witches with our grain going down to hell, y'all.
Yeah, that would have been a better concert, yeah.
So as weapons, the werewolves carried iron bars, the witches used broom handles, and Thies said that Skystan broke his nose with a broom handle wrapped in a horse's tail.
What a bunch of fucking nerds.
And when asked what became of the souls of the werewolves, which is a natural question because at this time they believed that werewolves were of the devil, Thies said that they all went to heaven, and he said that werewolves were the hounds of gods who helped mankind by preventing the devil from carrying off the abundance.
And then
the
this dude turned around, wiped sweat from his brow, and was like, oh, I hope they believed all that bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh my
I can
God.
Go back. Yeah, they just did. They're like, all right, now we can arrest him for being the man who had sex with all the tomatoes left in the silo.
The tomato fucker. Oh, no.
Thies maintained.
I'm a werewolf.
Thies maintained that if it was not for them, the werewolves, all would suffer. He said that there were werewolves in Germany and Russia also fighting witches in their own hell.
So each country has their own hell?
Yes.
There's a lot of rules, a lot of structures. But
it's the Middle Ages. They made it up as they went along.
We would have done so well then.
Yeah. I feel like everyone just made up these things on the fly after people came to their house with pitchforks and fire. And they were like, no, listen.
No, listen. No, all this is totally cool. Yeah.
So Thies, he said that he maintained his innocence until the day that he was finally convicted of the crime. The judges sentenced him to 10 lashes for acts of idolatry and superstitious beliefs.
That's so bad.
One of the few people to not be executed.
That tells you, but that's how fast a talker. And again, he probably was also pretty damn funny. You got to be funny in that scenario or you're going to get punished.
Yeah.
So you mean I could have given those Mormons 10 lashes for superstitious beliefs?
I think that, not anymore. I don't think you're allowed to.
I'll tell them how I'm like, I'm a good werewolf. Yeah. I'd love to corner some Mormons and give them this theory and just be like, I'm a fucking good werewolf, and where were you when I was fighting the fucking witches on St. Jones Day?
Huh. So you may ask, if I'm a werewolf, how will I be cured?
Yeah. Marcus, if I'm a werewolf, how would I be cured?
Let me tell you, sir.
Good. This is good. This is good. We should play this. We should have a segment in every episode, which is like Ben, the customer, goes to Marcus, the apothecary.
So in medieval Europe, there were three traditional methods to cure the victim of werewolfism. Medicinally, via the use of wolf's bane. Surgically, or by exorcism.
Surgically?
Yeah,
surgically.
What's that going to be like?
Well, here's how they actually did that. Of course, many of the surgical methods were extremely fatal to most of the patients.
Yes. And that's why they call what a doctors do a practice.
Sicilians believed in an old Arabic belief that you could cure a werewolf by striking him on the forehead or scalp with a knife.
Yeah, I'd fucking try to get close to him. Yeah, sure, go ahead. Yeah, grandma. Yeah, go tap it on the fucking head with a knife.
With a
grandma.
Little knife there. A tap or a real strike, huh?
A strike.
Okay.
I strike you.
Yeah. Ow. Ouch. Ow.
Are you a werewolf anymore?
I never was.
You can also kill a werewolf, or you can also cure a werewolf by driving nails into his hands.
Oh, Jesus Christ was a werewolf.
It's very possible Jesus was the first werewolf. Harry? Where was he the first 13 years? Or no, wait, 13 to, what was it? 13 to 30.
You could also cure a werewolf, much less extreme methods. In the German lowland of Schleswig-Holstein, a werewolf could be cured if one were to simply address it three times by its Christian name.
Well, that's a nice way to do it.
Yeah.
So if you're a werewolf, that's where you want to be.
You want to be in Lower Germany.
That's a big thing too. Where it's like werewolves need to be reading these fucking books and newspapers and going to where the less harsh punishments are.
Yeah, just say your name three times. That's simple.
Yeah, and Danish belief holds that simply scolding a werewolf will cure it.
You bet, werewolf. You bet. Oh, how dare you, werewolf? Oh, I rub your nose in the boy you murdered. You stinking werewolf. You have never been. Oh, I spank you.
You know what? I'm cured. I'm actually cured. Thank you.
Newspaper.
I'll never kill that boy again.
Is that a Dutch accent?
Yes, I spunk you.
So that sounds. I spunk you.
I spunk you.
Seems like
it's the closest we're going to come today.
Yeah, that's for sure. We'll have to go back and learn it a little bit more, but that's fine. So you had surgery done to you. You had your forehead tapped with a knife, or you just had your name said three times or scolded.
Yeah, or exorcism was involved. Which
a lot of people would die during these exorcisms, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because they would keep them like tied up with no food for days and days because they thought that they were making the demon hungry and it's got to go out for fucking pizza.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't think you understand. Guys, let's be reasonable. Like, we just died.
Sounds like the devil's still in him.
No.
No, God. No.
Just like, looking for a sandwich.
Sounds like something the devil would say.
Reasonable is of the devil's vocabulary.
That's not true. No, it's a man's vocabulary. I'm reasonable.
Tell me, how many peppers did Peter Piper pick?
It's a fake thing.
The devil's still in the boy.
No, it's fake. Nine peppers.
Incorrect. The answer is four.
What?
Yes.
That is right.
So let's get into some cryptozoological werewolves.
Yeah, this is my favorite thing, because now it's like, what's the difference between a werewolf and a dog man?
Well, let's stay back in the 18th century for just a moment with the Beast of Gabaldon.
Ooh.
Cool.
It was associated with man-eating wolf-like animals, which terrorized Gabaldon between 1764 and 1767. The attacks occurred in an area 56 by 50 miles. It was said to be committed by beasts that had formidable teeth and immense tails. Witnesses also saw the beast were wounded at several occasions without dying, including shots at point-blank range. Victims were said to have their throats torn out, and the French government used a considerable amount of manpower and money to hunt the animals, including the resources of several nobles, the army, civilians, and a number of royal huntsmen, which the U.S. government has still not done for Bigfoot.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, come on, guys.
Or the frogmen. Or the melon heads out there terrorizing people. The fucking Marines aren't deployed to Virginia to take down the Mothman.
But these
absolutely
are the French.
Not. Yeah.
The number of victims, quite a few victims, 113 deaths, 49 injuries, 98 of the victims killed were partially eaten. Other sources say that it was more between 60 and 100 adults and children injured.
But nobody did math at the time. Nobody knew how to record a single fact.
They didn't even know how many kids they had on their own.
No,
they were birthing them out, losing them sometimes.
I'm pretty certain that there's three Gerards. I'm not sure how many sons we have.
And actually, interesting enough, at this time, the French and particularly the English kept some of the most detailed and accurate records of deaths, specifically.
They
love
death.
They loved it, and they loved to write about it, much like us.
Yeah.
They were very obsessed with death those days, so they made sure to write down every fucking thing. Unfortunately, there were people that were, no, there were this many deaths. Oh,
no.
Of course, no. There were 60.
A witch did it. Get out of here. Get out of here, Jacques.
Of course, descriptions vary, but generally the beast was said to look like a wolf, but was as big as a cow. Mm. It said had a big dog-like head, small straight ears, wide chest, a large mouth. The muzzle was said to look like that of a pig or
a cat.
Could
it have been a bear? Could it be a bear?
It could have been. It could have been a swamp goat.
Yeah,
there's lots of different animals out there. Yeah. It could have been a bat cow. Have you seen these bat cows?
I did see the bat cow. They hang upside down when they sleep.
Oh my goodness! But the best part though is that because they sleep during the day, you just fucking lop the head off right there, and you got yourself bat T-bone.
Oh my good, bat cow burgers are my favorite kind of. Yeah, good.
So the beast fur was said to be red, but its back was streaked with black, and of course, like most cryptozoological animals, was said to be accompanied by an unpleasant odor.
Because they live in their shit.
Yes, they do.
Constantly, yeah.
So the first recorded attack of the Beast of Garavan was recorded in 1764. Many, many people were killed throughout that entire time, and it said that the victim would only target the victim's head or neck region. The bites were not to the arms and legs, and which is actually unusual because that's usually where wolves and predators go to first.
Yeah, and they tear open the guts too and start playing with your fucking intestines.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they were good at killing, so these things were just like, you know, it could have just been, I don't know. I don't know what they were.
This is a beast. I mean,
you know, I'm no scientist. I wasn't back in the day. You know what I mean? No. I wasn't there.
You're not now.
No.
Never have been.
So conjecture is useless.
Well,
I feel like a real CNN reporter.
You actually sound just like one, like zero information. You're saying words, though.
So where's the plane?
Oh, we still don't know. Still up there somewhere. But these huge beasts, they could focus in on the neck and just kind of tear off the head.
Yeah. It looks that's what it sounds like.
And they never ate any other part of the body?
Oh, no. They absolutely devoured most of the body.
So how do we know where they started?
Well, medieval forensics?
Yeah, but
are not... I mean, you're looking for logic in medieval thinking.
We're just trying to tell the story to the people.
Yeah, man. Yeah. All
right. Well, you sound like some of those fellas on the Facebook page.
Oh, take it easy. Oh, my goodness. I can't deal with all that.
So, of course, the hunt finally came because so many people were being killed. They finally went to Louis the 15th, who sent two professional wolf hunters.
I shall send a wizard, and the wizard will beat the big dogs. Won't they, Salcior?
Yes. Yes, King Louis. I'll take care of the bat cows.
That's how all this insanity started. Louis the 15th, so I'd assume is he the 15th in this generation of Louis that have been kings ever since?
Oh, yeah.
So he's retarded.
No.
He is like James Dolan is the second of all the Dolans, and he's the worst owner in
sports. They also could just have been, they could have just been normal dogs, but then they couldn't catch him, and so eventually some sheriff is like, and those dogs, they were big as a cow, and and they were the meanest dogs I've ever seen in my life.
And Louis the 15th is just sitting there drooling on the throne. He's like, yeah, oh yeah, go kill him. Yeah, oh, scary, yes.
So finally, two professional wolf hunters, Jean-Charles Marc-Antoine, Vomisley Demvaux, and
pussy
his son.
Pussy comes running, by the way. Holy Christ.
You're a wolf hunter.
That is the sexiest job you can have.
And, of course, in 1765, Antoine killed another wolf that was 31 inches high, 5 feet 7 inches long, and weighing 130 pounds. Big fucking wolf.
Yeah. So they thought they had him.
They thought they had him. However, on December 2nd, 1769, another beast severely injured two men. And finally, the creature was killed by John Castell on 1770, says that he was a part of a large hunting party, and he sat down to read the Bible and pray. But during one of the prayers, the creature came into sight, staring at Chastel, who finished his prayers before shooting the beast. And some believe that this is proof that Chastel participated with the beast because the beast did not immediately attack him. So it's said that this good Christian man may have been in league with the devil.
Sounds like a nerd to me. Oh, yes, I will kill you, beast, when I'm done with my readings.
When
yes.
I'm done with my readings, yes. Beast. So stay right there.
Don't move, Beast.
Stay right here. Stay right there. And just be very
what
patient.
What you reading?
So let's get to some of the American cryptozoologists.
Yes, awesome. I'm with the beast at Bray Road.
So Castel did it, huh? Castel saved the day. Castel saved France.
Saved the day and saved all of France.
Yes. And baguettes for everyone.
So the Michigan Dog Man was reported in 1887 in Wexford County, Michigan. He was sighted all over Michigan, primarily in the northwestern quadrant of the Lower Peninsula.
Now, that's a lot of directional information.
Yes, it
northwestern is. Northwestern quadrant of the Lower Peninsula.
Well, you know me. I like the facts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the Michigan Dog Man, he also attacked this man, Robert Fortney, was said he attacked by five wild dogs. One of the two walked on two legs, which, you know, I've seen before. When you cut off a dog's two front legs.
I know, exactly. Every
they
time
can
I
walk
cut
around
off,
on two legs.
Every time I've snipped off a dog's two fucking front legs.
Right, right.
They always stand right up, and they're all like, and they'll do a little dance.
Hey, so, Henry, I noticed you had a broken chair there, but if the two new legs, are there dog legs? So
dog legs.
Dog legs.
Standing right up.
There's still hair. You didn't shave the hair off
yes.
of them there. But
I know this is where dog men come into play. I think a lot of times what we're going to see with these dog men is that they're bears that got into some mushrooms, right?
Be.
And they're all standing up all weird, or they have like mange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the weirdest thing about the Michigan dog man is that in 1987, the legend of Michigan Dog Man gained popularity when a disc jockey from WTCM-FM recorded a song about the creature and its reported sightings.
Ooh, cool.
Called The Legend of Dog Man Song.
What's it all about?
Henry's going to do a little dance for us here.
So the officer and I went out there.
And me and Ben, we're going to be charged with a task.
Well, Henry has not started to dance, and he is still sitting, and he's just waving his arms around like he's way, way back in the hot dog line. But he wants to get the hot dog vendor's attention, so the hot dog vendor will just throw him a hot dog like it's a football, and he's going to catch it in his mouth like he's a real dog, man.
I just realized in order for me to dance, I'll have to wear these headphones, and yeah. I will just rip it off the table. Right. The whole thing.
You can stand up. The thing's long enough.
No, you can just stay. It doesn't matter. I mean, we could make it up. Yeah, now he looks like a little, if a teapot could dance. He literally hailed Hitler.
Yeah, he's doing.
I do want to say that at this point, and he's now flipping the bird off as if he's angry with the hot dog man for not getting his attention. He's now making his index fingers long nipples. So that's kind of arousing and kind of exciting there.
Oh, nipples and on his knees.
Nipples are now down on his knees. This is a really wonderful dance. This, and now he is once again hailing Hitler. All right. Well, wonderful dance.
Yeah, and you can check it out.
11 lumberjacks near the Garland Swamp found an animal they thought was a dog. In a playful mood, they chased it around until it ran inside.
No chorus to this song.
Just a story, man.
No, it's like it's a story rap.
I mean, the most amazing thing so far is that people had jobs in Michigan. We got a disc jockey and lumberjacks. It's been seen in decades.
We got to put this song up.
Yeah, we'll put this song up on the Facebook page.
Great song. Great song.
Oh, yeah. It's
so
wonderful.
In 87, then, did people go out and try to hunt the dog man?
Oh, no. They just kind of let it
no,
hang
No, they
out.
Wanted to party with the dog man.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You had a fucking, you had a sweet-ass DJ. And by the way, it sold thousands upon thousands of copies. He made a little cassette tapes, and he donated all of the profits to a local animal shelter.
Oh, that is very sweet.
Yeah, DJs are usually terrible people. That's the nicest thing I've ever heard of one doing.
A radio DJ, it's like literally, it's like on the terms of like morality, it's like the very bottom is fucking U.S. Senator, and then right above it is fucking radio DJ.
I was a radio DJ for 5 years.
Look at you. No, you're one of the good ones, Marcus.
Yeah, I mean, I will agree. They've all got the ponytail, the baseball cap. Ugh.
But now they know exactly.
WNBC.
They know exactly how to tell those kids that it's reverse time here at the old ski hut. Roller skate hut.
Well, okay, boys. We're out here at Albertsons this afternoon. We're giving away hats. We're giving away frisbees. We're giving away KUIJ bumper stickers.
All right. And everybody, let's get the lead out.
So let's get to, there's also the Beast of Bray Road, which
is. Beast of Bray Road.
Yeah.
That's in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. He's described by purported witnesses, but in several ways, a bear-like creature, 2 feet tall on all fours. But you know what? Let's let a couple of Wisconsinites describe it to us themselves.
Mom? Dad?
This is in Honey Creek, Wisconsin.
We went out on a Friday night to a fish fry, actually. It was a clear night. There's a bridge that we have to go across, and you have to make a left-hand turn right after the bridge. And I spotted something on the bridge in my headlights. I stopped approximately 20, 25 feet from the creature.
I think I may have said to him, my God, what is that?
Had his back to us at first, and swung around and looked right in the car. I made eye contact with it. 600 pounds, 700, I don't know, but it was huge. Over 7 foot tall.
As far as the fur, it was reddish brown.
The eyes were black. It didn't just vanish into nowhere. It jumped off of a bridge. It's like, I can't believe you saw that. You know, what was that? Did we really see that thing? You know, even.
Did you see that?
Oh my, guys, you guys would not believe it. I was just crossing the street, right? And then I saw two lights coming at me and then two big fat heads. And they looked like they were like a fish fry or something.
Oh, wait a second. I think, oh, that's the biggest one of the Kissels, the Kissel family there. Oh, yeah. They'll just let him go, George. I don't know, Mary Beth. I don't know. I think I should hit it with my car.
It ain't easy being a Kissel, man. It ain't easy.
No, it ain't. Well, let's wrap up this episode with the Kentucky Wolfman.
Woo! Woo! Y'all get up. Y'all come be a Kentucky Wolfman. Get some of that bourbon in me. Woo!
Yeah, are there any, like, more urban wolf people? Like, no. A downtown Chicago?
No, there ain't no vampire in Brooklyn here, buddy.
Okay.
Oh, that would have been awesome, though. Yeah, I mean, come on. Think about it. Lower East Side Wolfman. He's just, like, walking right down the street. Like, he's like an art star.
I mean, he would be famous here. Everywhere else they want to mention him, and here they'd be like, wow, look at that guy. He should open a gallery.
Drug dealer on the side. Coke, smoke, dope. Coke, smoke.
Newport.
All in his fur and stuff.
Werewolf fur.
ow. Here you go.
Since 1944, folks in rural Kentucky have been reporting sightings of a gigantic wolf-like creature that walks upright.
My mom didn't tell me now, well, I never did. It wasn't a bird. It wasn't a bird.
Well, one man did describe it as a cross between a bear and a gorilla. Mostly comes from the flatlands.
It's kind of, it was probably big as you remember. You guys, y'all know Big Ted.
Oh yeah, of course.
It was like two Big Teds,
double Big Teds.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some said it had a white or grayish looking coat. Says the heights of an average man. Its hands have long claws, and the feet are somewhat like a human's, but configured more like a canine. And it seems to be extremely aggressive.
Kind of like Michael Douglas's feet in Behind the Candelabra. Have you seen? There was some reason I watched Behind the Candelabra, and there's a scene where they're about to fuck each other, Matt Damon and Michael Douglas, and they show Michael Douglas's feet, and his feet are like an evil bird's feet.
Yeah,
he is the weirdest old man feet I've ever seen. That's all I have.
Very, very possible, yeah.
The first reported attack was by a boy who's at the old fishing hole and was attacked by a silver gray wolf-like creature. He was treated for deep cuts and shock.
Mm-hmm.
Next report came in 1972. A hunter said that he was attacked from behind by something, and he had deep claw marks on the back, on his back and legs.
He's getting attacked from a hunter. And you know me, I'm a good old-fashioned Christian man. I got my wife, Beverly. Things are fine. Things are fine in the house, you know.
Right,
next thing I know, I'm fishing. And
her chest just creeps its way up my back and up my shirt, touching my lower belly, and I was like, this must be some kind of werewolf.
Right. Well, totally not going out of that fishing hole. There have been no fish in that hole for 20 years.
There have been many, many, many attempts to hunt or kill this creature or capture him, but it's very elusive. It can easily escape those that pursue
no
it.
No one's found it yet.
No one's found it yet.
And I'm telling you, A&E found it.
Yeah,
they made
and
a
you
reality
know how
show
it can easily escape people in rural Kentucky? Above average canine intelligence.
Oh. Above average canine
it's
intelligence.
It's somewhere between the combination of above average canine intelligence right. and below average human intelligence.
Yeah. That's the above the average canine intelligence should still make it be able to be found by human intelligence.
It's not a suit. Yeah, it's not a
slightly smarter than a dog.
I knew when I, all right, so yes, I made a giant cage. I took a cage. I filled it with beef broth. I got a pot of beef broth in there. Track the werewolf in there, and I put a Rubik's Cube in there. And then he walked right in there. He drank that broth. He completed that Rubik's Cube and just walked straight out of my trap, and it turns out it's because I forgot to put springs in it.
Oh, yeah, you gotta put springs in it so it shuts and then it kind of locks on him. Yeah.
So in the 80s, two lawmen were investigating the sighting in Ashland Cemetery and were cornered. They said that it came within 30 feet of them, paced back and forth, growling, until it got bored and retreated back into the cemetery.
Well, that is an exciting lawman story. Out of all the lawman stories I've ever heard.
I saw the dog man once. Well, I'll be seeing you.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
2001, and by the way, these sightings are continuing to this day. 2001, a couple said they were driving down a deserted road in Greenup County. They reported that the beast came running down the road towards them, and instead of avoiding the vehicles, it just jumped right over and went on its way.
Also heard in 2001, a werewolf dressed as an indigenous Middle Eastern man entered into a cross-country flight at JFK Airport and crashed it into the World Trade Center.
Wait a second now. Are you blaming 9/11 on werewolves, or...
I'm just saying.
You think the extremists are the scapegoat for the werewolf?
I'm just saying that if there had just been a Greek woman with a ceremonial knife on there to tap him on the scalp,
just to make sure,
we would not be in this post 9/11.
So you would recommend
landscape.
That the TSA, instead of the strip search and taking off your shoes, just tap everyone on the forehead with a sharp knife,
slice people looking for hair underneath it,
right,
and pressing silver onto them.
Then do you think that would be acceptable with the Constitution if?
Yes.
My God.
So these are a lot of good theories here. Totally.
Theories?
In 2005, a man went outside to investigate a strange noise and saw what he thought was a child, but realized that the 3-foot-tall being was covered in hair and had a snout like a dog.
It's a dog.
It's a dog.
That's a dog.
That's definitely a small to large, maybe a St. Bernard.
Ooh, could I love be. Good, cute dog. Strong.
And of course, this year, maybe I think this was written in 2013, the team from Mountain Monsters went to Hazleton, Kentucky to investigate a recent sighting. A man out hunting in the woods obtained video footage of the creature walking in the tree line at a distance. The footage showed an upright biped animal, a good 6 or 7 feet tall,
and
walking through the woods.
Waving at the, waving at the
hey
camera.
Guys.
Going like,
hello, how's everybody doing?
Hey, guys.
During their visit to Hazleton, other people came forth with accounts of finding tracks. The tracks were larger than an average man's hand and were canine. From the tracks, the creature was judged to be in the 350-pound range. This team set up a steel drop trap and baited it with a live goat to try to capture the animal.
Like in Jurassic Park?
Sure.
Yeah.
Just end up capturing their drunk Uncle Larry.
He doesn't want to eat. He wants to hunt.
So it seems like we have a 300-pound werewolf here, but back in the old French days, they were around 130 pounds. I think we have an obesity epidemic.
Yeah. werewolves have been watching too much TV.
Yeah.
We've been giving them these Nintendo DSs with their Pokemon cards. These werewolves are
like
lazy.
They're getting lazier.
Because it possessed an uncanny ability to elude capture... And this,
No catchies. Can't catch me. I'm too quick.
And because of Kentucky's standard of uncanny is once again very low.
Yes.
They say that his uncanny abilities included the tactic of walking around the triggering mechanism and not eating the goat.
I think you got to go after it. You know, got to be the aggressor.
I just think that we need to leave these dog people alone.
That's another good idea.
And let them live their dog people lives.
Then what are the mountain monster hunter guys going to tell their wives they do for a living?
They go back to working at fucking Walmart.
That would be a good idea.
All right, well
that's where we are.
Today's episode on werewolves. We've still got a lot more.
Creepy.
So much stuff to do. I love these werewolves. I had no idea there was these, so much involved.
We've got
them.
The mass wolf pack attacks, which we mentioned briefly earlier.
Also the scourge of teen werewolves that is going on in this country right now.
Oh, it's such a scourge. We've also got the whole witchcraft trials, serial killers that were said to be werewolves. A lot of werewolf stuff coming up.
I'm excited about it. All right, everybody. Well, I will say Magusta Lake.
Yeah, sure.
Then I'll do a hail yourselves, and that's Marcus Sparks on Twitter. Henry loves you on Twitter. I'm Ben Kissel on Twitter.
Hail Satan.
Hail Gene.
Hail me.
And I think that's all the hails.
And don't go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
That's very nice. Yeah. And if you're going to go to a fishing hole, make sure it has fish in it. Otherwise, you're going to be attacked by probably a hairy fellow who lives in the woods.
And I'll say it this way, too. Yeah, if you've had sex with a man in the woods, don't blame the werewolves.
That's right.
You know what I mean? It gets better.